game. So they were so burdened out, and when Christ came, they were all disappointed because they thought he was going to deliver them from the additional taxes that the Romans had imposed on them. And then when he came, he traveled on a donkey. Hallelujah. They did not understand. And many times we don't either. Thinking if you'd be so kind.
Amen. Read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1, 3 through 5, first from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now from the Intermediate Greek text, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavens in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of the world, to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Through salvation in the blood of Jesus, we come short of no good blessing in the heavens. Everybody is sufficient in Christ. In the heavens, in Christ, we lack nothing. Hallelujah. Keep in mind those things that are important things are things that are spiritual and invisible, not temporary in time. Hallelujah. That are subject to corrosion and decay. Hallelujah. So we all, those that are of the members of the body of Christ, we have everything that we need in the heavenlies in Christ. All spiritual blessings. Hallelujah. Amen. And can you do, why are you in Ephesians? Go to Ephesians 2, please.
Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, first from the King James Version. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, from the Interlinear Greek text. For by grace ye are having been saved through faith, and this not of you, of God the gift, not of works, lest anyone should may boast, having boasted. For of him we are a product, created in Christ Jesus unto works good, which previously prepared God in order that in them we may walk, having walked.
Previously prepared God. It's not about you. It is all about him. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 literally states, the gift of God, and this isn't out of you. You are having been saved by grace through the faithfulness, not out of works, that no one may have boasted. It's not about you being baptized. It's not about you going down the aisle and giving the pass to your hand. It's not about you finding Jesus, who's never lost. It's not about you speaking in tongues. It's all about work of Christ in the heavenlies. The Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. That's what it's all about. And man, it's a big thing. Hallelujah. You guys missed the place to shout. Hallelujah. Jesus did indeed pay it all. We don't bring anything to the table. Hallelujah. It's all about Him and not about us. Our message today reads, how can do God's people get to heaven? And we are blessed to gather once again. I am gratefully blessed of God to address you on the last days of 2014 and into the first days of the year 2015. I sincerely assert today and truly thank God for all whom He has placed in the service of the Grace Gospel Church ministry. I thank God for every one of you, first and foremost, those devoutly embracing purely the grace doctrines, as well as all those whose growth we daily petition God for per His will. We are significantly progressing in the succeeding decade of ministry in the 21st century. Our custody from God fundamentally rests on four wheels. Number one, teaching God's sovereign grace and election to salvation. Number two, promoting ontology, actualization of existence solely in God's divine decree in eternity, radiating manifestation as posture solely in the time capsule. Number three, distinguishing the scriptures in line with what systematic study substantiates our seven dispensations with their corresponding covenants. And number four, exegesis of all scriptures from various copies of original Greek manuscripts through courses of utilizing threefold scrutiny of grammatically, historically, contextually analyzing their context. In persuasion of these explanations, we are passionately aware that these means of studying this teaching God's Word isolates us from the lion's share of mainstream Orthodox Christian. However, we are confident that the effects of these venues draws us closer to truth for the Grace Church and this grace dispensation. As we congregate at the sanctuary at this moment, as always, my prayer is that you will, if you have not already, internalize these impressions in accordance with the assignment of our ministry. We were formed to develop these methods of conduits and resources which bring together these marvelous truths that are garnered as we truly believe that this was God's principle in assembling the Grace Gospel Church ministry. These are that I read the courses and words of my pastor, who the Lord has blessed to be with us. Hallelujah! And we are so thankful for his progress. From the inception of our ministry, at more than 16 years ago, centuries-old traditions, as well as the modern and denominational church philosophies, have invoked their structured view of the religious systems, religiosity, yet secondly legitimized and replicated in various arranged unions. Even though they are very skilled in mingling their principles, their applications falter in fulfilling legitimate spiritual hunger. Truly spiritual thirst languishingly persists, mostly inaccessible to average church attendees. Generally speaking, spiritual episiotomy is inaccessible because of typical ministry's priorities are always focused on trendy styles instead of scriptural substance. What is he saying here? He's saying that most Sundays, most parishioners go and they hear about five easy steps to prosperity. Or they hear about how to build a strong faith. Or they hear about movie stars. Or they hear about politicians. They hear about all the things that are happening in this life on a horizontal view. All those things are temporal, and none of them will satisfy you. Hallelujah. Because what we need is spiritual food. What we need is what the scriptures offer. Let's leave the politics to the politicians. Let's leave the movie stars to people magazine and all that much. Yeah, let's not bring that in and make that the focal point to our churches. You know, those churches are clubs. They like clubhouses. Yeah, they like little social groups. Jesus a mighty man. So what he's saying here, let's refocus on what the real deal is about. And it's really all about Jesus and not about you. Hallelujah. As a consequence of this, many of God's people reside daily in their incumbencies and mental exhaustions as they amble through life, continually barred from peaceful resolutions and knowledge of security in Christ. Too many are in dire need of genuine spiritual exercises in what exhibits spiritually fresh nourishment of living in the world by yet transcending behind her. Not being moved by what you see, feel, or touch. Not being moved by anything kind, or the lack in your closet or your pantry. Those things are temporal. Hallelujah. There's something to change in men. We have to stop looking, hallelujah, and sightseeing, and start vertical viewing, seeing our lives from the vertical view of where Christ is and where we sit with him.
Where he was calling down heaven angels and all that,
So I've been politely going, okay, that's enough, you know, okay, you know, and he wanted to persist to call down angels and call and speak in it. We might not. You know, I'm in the night, baby. He worked in the fields in North Carolina, picking cotton and doing bales of hay and all that stuff.
We, and you know better, you do better. But turn the light.
one in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we persevere in this mission, the ultimate goal of this ministry engenders dismantling unworkable expectations invested in earthly, temporary injuries or measures of existing disorders. This is compulsory because the consequences of prioritizing earthly objects are inevitably experienced by every institution of uncertainty in this life. Unfortunately, too many religious formations are solely open to all, yet are spiritually open to none. In effect, God's people are mostly insensitive to the large association and fact of the big picture of eternal living. As such, is veiled from the majority by their daily challenges in the temporal capsule of time. In this state of mind, most are excluded from thinking outside of the box. What do you mean by that? We mean most people are moved by what they see, not by what they read in the Word.
Amen.
They're moved by what's on the television.
Amen.
Or what they read on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah. They're not moved by who they are in Christ. Yes. And that's where the problem comes in. See, who you are in Christ is a big picture. That's the big picture. And that's how we should live in that living. However, in lieu of such sightlessness, the essence of all abiding in Christ within eternal benefits thereof must dominantly become the overriding topic in every assembly. As we have often stated, in empowering the daily conscience of spiritually informed, we tell you, look in the book. Turn off the TV. Get the Old Testament for your guys. If we were still going by Old Testament, guys, we'd all be putting our fleeces and burning clouds.
Alright.
That's time past. But now, we walk in the liberty of the grace of God. Thanksgiving meal, and the girl asked the mom, she said, you know why I put my hand up? She said, no, she said, you didn't have to top off the hand. She said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, I do. Growing up, you cut the top off the hand, and I always cut the top off the hand in my house because I saw you do it. She said, girl, she said, I cut the top off that hand because it didn't fit in the pot.
Except
in fruition and by demonstration of identification with eternal life. If God's people's powerful walk through the desolate valleys and across the scribing hills on wandering highways can spiritually rest even on rocky byways. You gotta realize God's got it. Encounters in life scorch our bodies. Such merely testifies that it is ours, it is solely ourly that we care for. Yet we think not, but it always our outward man decays, yet inward is renewed when day by day. In that reference, 2 Corinthians 4:6. That our manifested march through time is challenged historically wise with fiery trials of burdens and conditions on every hand. It is at this juncture of our development in spiritual consciousness that we need to embrace the facts of eternal intentions that arrest the processes derailing events and terminating occurrences on the matrix. Exclusively for testimony purposes. You know, James 1:2, it talks about counting it all joy. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. One interpretation I have, Pastor said, welcome them as friends. I said, and then I said, how do you count it all to test and trial as friends? But you know, the next verse talks about how the trial will require patience. How can you welcome the tests and trials of your life as friends? By vertical viewing. By viewing life from the vertical plane and God's plan of salvation. How that can bring peace to your own life. That's how you do it. By vertical viewing. Not by sight seeing, but by faith walking. Yeah, walking by faith and not by sight. Realizing that your life in Christ and God, and that you win. Just 15 years ago, our perspectives and assessments avail in a painstaking system of thoughts or doctrines derived from principles and or concepts and limited spheres of knowledge that was mostly horizontally focused. This mainly dominated the mantras of our struggles, defining sets of precepts, beliefs, principles, aims, underlying practices of irrational conduct, which our resignation and lack of calmness resonated. This human conception exudes unreliable behavioral responses to confront some age-old events as impressions, which at face value display exigencies dictating unconscious continuance, rendering us only tentatively safe at best. You know, when I think back of the 16 years, and when they first started the church, I was attending another church. My mother was here, along with Mother Nettles, and they were sort of like some of the stalwarts, you know, kind of laying and helping the pastor lay the foundation. I would go to my church, which was a great big church, and I'd go to the morning service. I'd pick my mother up, she'd go with me there to the 7:30 service, and then we would go have breakfast, and then we'd come over to Grace Gospel. And because I was trying to keep my husband satisfied. Yeah, I didn't need him. So I continued practicing in that ministry. But then I would come home with the pastor's people. And I kind of land around, you know. And he'd start reading and probably take a quick pastor teach on. He'd be hearing the Bible stories about Samson and Delilah and Moses around the Red Sea. Distraught because he had lost his parents. faithfully followed for 31 years. He had passed. And with his passing, he was no longer availed the privilege of many of his writings. And he said, oh my God, what am I going to do? And what did Mother Miller say? And what that he did, and the Lord has blessed him to be a prolific writer of the scripture. And sometimes in reading the documents, God may say, oh my God, this is wonderful. But I say many times when I'm reading it and the Lord comes up,
perspective for the new year. Faith, walk by faith and not by sight.